He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and with careful instruction. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
With that, and so those verses really mean a lot to me, particularly Matthew's Great Commission to the disciples. That commission is still true today. We as Christians are commissioned to do the same. And in verse 19 it says, "Therefore go." We have to do something. We have to be people of action and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is someone who follows Christ. It's as simple as that. So, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's part of what we do as a Christian, to read the Bible, to find out what God is saying to us through it and what Jesus particularly taught, and so we can follow Jesus and do what he asks us to do. And then the promise of Jesus, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." That is what we're about. And I was reading through last year's AGM minutes, like you do because you're the minister. And hopefully you've all read it, so that when I come to that point in the meeting, you'll say, "Yeah, it's a true record if you can remember a year ago." But there, I read out the mission statement. And in between then, at the leadership team, we had a conversation about the mission statement. And we made a change to it, and it might have seemed something and nothing, but to us as the leadership team, it was a big change. And so what we did was we changed the mission statement around. And so the mission statement now, you'll all know it off by heart, won't you? You all recite it every night, yeah? Sue Mack's looking really nervous, like I'm going to ask her to read it out. And so we changed it. And so what we did was we put the second half of the mission statement at the beginning. And so it now says to grow and nurture wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. To grow and nurture wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. And we do that through sharing God's love in words and action. And so that's what we're about as a church. And that, along other bits of the Bible, is what Selby Street is about as well, about sharing the good news. And so this is about two groups of people. It's about us. It's about us who are followers. It's about us and our faith. We've come to follow Jesus. And so it's about us becoming wholehearted followers of Jesus. And that's not just a once in a lifetime. You come to faith, you're suddenly a wholehearted follower of Jesus. It's a journey. Through our whole Christian journey, it's about trying to go deeper. It's about trying to know more. It's about trying to be more wholehearted. Wholehearted. Giving everything that we've got. And if you want to sum the gospel up for me, it's the phrase that Jesus said when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's what being a Christian is about. It's giving your all. And I know sometimes it's not easy to give your all. Sometimes life is hard and difficult. Sometimes our faith is challenged. But even through that, we give what we can of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So it's about us. And it's about us as a church here and at Selby Street, encouraging one another in our faith, supporting each other, helping each other, praying for each other, worshipping together, loving, caring, being together in fellowship. I can't emphasize house groups more. House group is a great place for you to grow in your faith and to become more wholehearted together. But also what we're about is we don't keep this to ourselves. We want others to know it for themselves. We want others to be wholehearted followers of Jesus. If it's changed our lives, then we want others to do that. And so we're about reaching out to do that within the church. Are we still at 800, Steve, do you think, people coming across the threshold?
I don't think it's changed.
He counts them every day, does Steve? 800 people probably coming over our threshold who I'm desperate, and I hope you are, for them to become wholehearted followers of Jesus. But the thousands of people outside there, I'm sure if we did a survey of how many people you are in contact with during the week, it would come to hundreds and probably thousands. Even just a brief conversation. And that's what I'm desperate for. Right, now a question. When I say the word evangelism, what springs straight into your mind? What's the first thing? Evangelism. Come on, good or bad?
Spreading the word.
Spreading the word of Christ, yeah?
Good news.
Telling them who Jesus is. We'd have to whisper it, you know. Okay. It's all right if you've got some negative thoughts, that's fine.
I love to do it, and I dare you to do it.
Oh.
It's a dare.
Oof.
I'm sure if you do it and you make a job of it, even just making yourself known to that person, you'll love it. And once you're hooked, that'll be it.
Brilliant. Wow, what a challenge. I'm finished. My work here is finished. Brilliant. Challenge. Just do it. Anybody? If you've got something negative, that's fine as well.
It's word in action as well.
Word in action. Yeah. It's word in action. And I think we need both. Well, we do need both. We need our action. And actually, as Methodists, we're really good at that action. We are really good. We've always been really good at the action bit. We've already been, you know, today is a great example of what we're doing for Christian Aid. We're great at that. We're great at welcome. We're great at fellowship. We do great faith suppers. We're good at being friends. We're good at getting to know people. We're really good at that, and we've always been good at that right from the beginning. But we need to also speak as well. It's word and action. They go together. Anybody, come on, evangelism.
Love in action.
Love in action. Keith.
As a negative, we have to be really careful we don't turn people off. Evangelism is tremendous. We should all be doing it. But we've all seen signs in the city centres and people knocking on your door at home where we say we just turn people off. So when it's done, evangelism, it has to be done correctly and with care and sympathy.
Mm. Right, excellent. Sue?
A great friend of ours from a long time ago, David Cooper, used to say that the word evangelism meant Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner.
Invite people for Sunday dinner.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, right. I know there are a lot of negative connotations about it, and I know there's a lot of fear, and I'm sure many of you sat there thinking, I'm scared to death. Why should I do that? Well, evangelism comes from the Greek word, and I'd love to be able to pronounce it, eugelion, I think it is. I've heard somebody say it like that. Eugelion. And all it means is good news. It means good news. The four Gospels, which are about Jesus, are about those witnesses who actually spent time with Jesus and talked to people who had spent time with Jesus. They wrote their Gospels. And the gospel means good news. To evangelize is to share good news. That's all it is. If you struggle with the word evangelism, just remember it's sharing good news. And I don't know about you, but I love to share good news. I love to share it. Also, the word angel as well means good news. Angels were people who came with a message. Occasionally they weren't good news, but 9 times out of 10, they came with a message from God of good news. Mary, you're going to have a baby. Good news. It's good news. Right. So, Denise. Denise is excited, aren't you, Denise? No. Come on, Denise. You know you are. Do you want to use the pulpit or the radio mic or...
behind it.
Okay, you hide behind the pulpit. So, I mean, one of the gifts that I've got is the gift of drama. what? Anne? Am I good at drama? Am I a drama queen? Yeah. Yes.
Not the same thing.
Are they not the same thing? When I was a lot younger, in my home church, we started a drama group and I headed it up. Bear in mind, we were from Dewsbury. It was called Acts of the. I called it the Amateur Christian Theatrical Society. It was certainly amateur. I'm not sure about theatrical, but anyway. So we decided that we would do a scenario on how to share your faith.
We did.
I'm excited. Are you?
Nervous.
Good. Right. So. The scenario is that we're neighbours. We are in one sense nearly, aren't we? Yeah, I do see you sometimes. I won't say when.
No.
But I do see Denise. So I'm a neighbour. I'm not a minister. Okay, I'm a neighbour. All right, so just get yourself... Are you ready? We need to get ourselves into our... Is it me?
Yeah, you to start. That's a good start.
Hello, Denise. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I haven't seen you for a few days.
No. We've been really busy. But how's Anne keeping?
How are you, love? You all right?
You all right, Anne?
She's all right. We're fine, thanks. Wasn't the weather lovely on Sunday?
Oh, it was beautiful.
We spent the day in the garden. Well, Anne spent the day in the garden. There's always something to do. What about you? What did you do on Sunday?
Well, we went to church on Sunday. We belong to Anglican Park Methodist Church, you know, just round the corner.
Yeah, I do. We don't go to church. I don't really believe in all that stuff. The thing is, I've done a lot of stuff I'm not proud of. And my fear is that I come to church and I get judged by people who go to church and God. So I'd rather just spend time at home watching my wife gardening from the couch.
Well, it's funny, Andrew. I used to feel like that once. But then I came to realise that having a faith and knowing Jesus is more important than anything else in my life. It's the cement that holds everything together. So shall I just tell you a really quick story about how my faith helped me in a real-life situation?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So... I don't know whether you know, but I was married for the first time in 1978 when I was 20. Had two lovely children, and by 1992, my marriage was not in a happy place. 1994, I'd separated and divorced. But in the meantime, I met Keith, and we quickly fell in love and knew that we were soulmates and that we were meant for each other. And then we quickly moved in together. And despite all sorts of obstacles, we overcame them, and in 1995, we married. And somehow we just knew that we were meant to be together, and we've never looked back. But neither of us really went to church at that time. Both of us felt a real need to start going to church, although we couldn't really say why. And then we discovered AP. And we turned up one Sunday evening, and the rest is history. We never looked back. We kept on coming along. We were made so welcome, as we were talking about earlier. And we felt that we belonged, so we just kept on coming along. All was going really well in our lives, but I couldn't get over my feeling of guilt about having a failed marriage. Everybody else seemed to have been married forever. Everybody I spoke to seemed to have been married for years and years and years. Was it me? Had I not tried hard enough? Had I been selfish? But Keith and I were so happy. It wasn't a reflection on our relationship. It was just a deep guilt within me, something that I couldn't explain. And I knew that God didn't approve of divorce. And it just made me feel really, really bad. But one Sunday evening, which was a quiet, reflective service, we were both sitting together in church here, and I just felt a presence behind me, a voice whispering in my right ear, saying, "It's okay, let it go." And such a peace came over me, and it stayed with me from that day to this. I can honestly say I no longer feel guilty. I've never felt guilty from that day to this. I know that the Bible says that we shouldn't divorce, but Keith and I are so blessed, and we just know that God is with us.
Wow, thank you for that, Denise. I didn't realise that. Thank you for sharing that. That's made me think, actually. I'd like to talk about this a bit more. Would you come round and have a chat with me and Anne over a
Absolutely.
Coffee?
Absolutely, I'd love to. I'd love to.
Great.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Is there a bus?
There's a bus. My bus is here.
All right, okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing in that that drama. But we must tell everybody, whilst it was a drama, that actually is part of Denise's actual life story and about her faith. That was true, wasn't it?
It was true, yes.
So thank you Absolutely. For sharing that. Thank you for bearing your soul.
That was saying it was true. That was a time when Keith and I first started to come to AP, and we felt so at home and so welcomed. That story is just part of my long journey with Jesus. I wasn't one of those people that had a startling revelation. Mine was a long, slow process with lots of stops and starts. I just thank God that He is faithful and keeps hold of us all the time, because I kept on turning away, and so it was a stop and start journey. But when I look back over a long period of time, I can see slow, gentle progress.
That's great. So, it seems to me, I've known you for 6 years now, and I don't know about you, but she comes across as very confident, very assured, you know, slightly scary sometimes, but I'm not scared of you anymore. And I know that you've had some quite important jobs, some stressful jobs in the past, and I know that you were our CAP debt centre manager for a while, which I know wasn't an easy job. So for me, it seems, and you're obviously our outreach steward, which is a lot about sharing our faith. So you must find it really easy to share your faith with people.
I don't.
Sorry?
I don't at all. I'm back office. You know, you'll find me in the back making tea or doing notes or doing all the background stuff. I'm not an up front, stand up at the front, look at me, everybody sort of person. And I do get really nervous, and I will do almost anything to avoid talking about my faith. I've got exactly the same fears, I guess, that everybody has. You know, will people laugh at me? Will I bore them? Will I put them off? Will I offend them in some way? Will they ask me questions that I can't answer? Will they think I'm a crank? And the other thing is, how on earth can I explain something that's so personal to me in a really short period of time? I could perhaps, if I had the courage, sit down with somebody and spend 3 hours giving them my whole life story, but I guess they'd fall asleep. So it's not easy to be concise in sharing your story. When I was managing the debt centre, that was pretty easy to talk to people because of the training that we got from Christians Against Poverty. It was almost part of a script. And also, I was going in there to see people who were absolutely desperate and looking for any possible way to get out of debt. And I arrived and said, "Look, you know, I'm here. I can help you." And not only that, not only can I help you to get out of debt, but I can give you hope for the future, because, you know, there's this fabulous person called Jesus who can give you hope for the future. And people in those sort of situations are generally very open to listening to anything and offering accepting anything that you can offer. So in that respect, it was much easier than chatting to friends or family about your own personal faith. I found the hardest thing is talking to what you might call ordinary people who've got maybe got a settled life, nice family around them, no real money worries, maybe a strong social conscience, they do the right things, they give money to charity. Why do they need Jesus in their lives? They seem to be doing pretty okay for themselves, and perhaps they think that if there's not that deep hunger inside, how do you know you've got a hunger? So I found that most difficult. And as I said earlier, I do get confused and muddled in my mind, because my faith journey started about 40 years ago. And if I thought about it, I could probably pull out about 10 or so different stories about things that have happened to me, some significant and some not so. But it's knowing when to use the stories and how to use the stories and how to get them in the right order. So I really want to go on that Talking Jesus course that we're starting next week, because I want to learn how to do this better. I want to be able to tell people about my faith at the drop of a hat. I want to be confident in what I'm saying and the way that I'm saying it. And it seems to me that I won't get to that situation unless I learn the techniques that we're going to learn and then practice them. And that, I guess practicing is the most important, because nobody actually wants to do it, stand up and talk about themselves. So it is difficult standing up here, talking about myself and about my faith and my own inadequacies, my own nervousness, but so what?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you want to give her a clap? Thank you, Denise. I'm really, really grateful to Denise for doing that. And that started from a conversation I had with Denise, where we were talking about the Talking Jesus course. And Denise says, I really find it hard to share my faith. And that took me back. That really did take me back. Because, as I said, you know, Denise comes across as confident and everything. And for someone like Denise to say, I struggle with it, really spoke to me and actually turned into a positive, because I thought, if Denise is struggling, then lots of people are struggling, if not all of us. So what I want to say to you is, if we've got some good news, we've got some good news. Have you got good news about your faith? Is your faith good news? I hope it is. I hope that your faith is good news. Now, Denise shared a really difficult time in her life, but she shared that God was with her through that difficult time. And that was good news. And I hope it's good news for you. And I pray that following Jesus is good news. And if it's not, then I desperately want it to be good news for you. And I know Jesus wants it to be good news for you. And so I want to encourage you to do what you can, that it would become good news. Life's not easy. Life is difficult. But it's good news for me. It's really good news. He's following Jesus. And we want to help you. I want to help you. We want to help you with that, for it to become good news. And so hopefully we can do that as a church. If there's any way that we can help you, then do let us know, for it to be good news and for us to share that. So just a couple of quick things. I need my man bag. Right, just really quickly. But just to say that, so Denise talked about the Talking Jesus course. Great to see lots of names. I'm really excited. Last chance this morning to sign up. Talking Jesus, 2:30 on Tuesday in here. And we're going to have some refreshments, and we're going to watch a couple of video clips, and we're going to talk about good news. We're going to talk about sharing good news in a six-week course, so do join us. There will be, hopefully, other courses coming out, hopefully in the autumn. We'll be running an evening course, and hopefully other house groups can use this. Here's the good news. Hope UK got a company to do a survey of what people, non-Christians, thought of Christians. And here's some good news, if I can find it. Firstly, the question that they asked is, who knows Christians? Who knows Christians? How do non-Christians know us? And in that survey, 33% it was a family member. Family members knew a Christian. It was a friend. 40% of people said it was a friend. 15% said it was an acquaintance. 7% said it was a work colleague. 4% said neighbours. And here's where I have to resign. 1% said a church leader. But that's the good news, that people know us. They know us through our family. They know us through our friends. They know us as acquaintances who we just see occasionally, as work colleagues, as neighbours. They know us. So that's good news. The second bit of good news is, what do people think of us? What do people think of Christians? 65% said we're friendly. Wow, that's good news, isn't it? 51% said we're caring. 46% said we're good-humoured. We like a laugh. That's brilliant. 38% said we're generous. And then we come to the negatives, which are quite low, which is encouraging. 13% narrow-minded, 10% hypocritical, 8% uptight, and 7% homophobic. So all the positive ones have got a massive percentage there. So people like us. People think we're friendly, caring, good-humoured, generous, as well as those other things. And finally, if I can find it, influencers. What were the top six influencers on people who came to faith? 41% said it was growing up in a Christian family. 36% said having a conversation with a Christian. 28% attending a service. 27% reading the Bible. 24% having an experience of the love of Jesus. And 17% an unexplained spiritual experience. Again, family, friends are really important. So we just want to encourage you and support you and help you in that. So do come on the Talk in Jesus. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be fantastic. So let's just say a prayer. Let's pray.